Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Applewhite calling you from the White Apple Institute, and we are broadcasting the student to teacher to student show, radio show on the internet, and we're just happy to have you with us this morning. We have some great surprise guests that will be sharing some of their stories this morning. We always love to hear about the success of other people, or even if they don't feel at this point in their life that they have been successful, we try to show them where they have and where they've moved from one position to the next, and there has been progress in their life. There's always a blessing, always something that we can look forward to within every circumstance. And I wish you well. I wish you love and peace as we continue with our program this morning. And I also would like to tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about school violence again. This is part 2 of 4. And we're going to talk about students to shooters and how do they become students to shooters. What's going on with that? Are we going to understand today a little bit more about school policy and why people are not marked from early childhood with their aggressive behaviors that follows them into college, where people know what to look for? And I say know with big, big quotation marks, because just because someone is having behavioral issues in sixth grade does not indicate that they will become a student to shooter when they get into college. That's one of the myths that we'll be exploring this morning. So we ask that you take a listen right now before I'll come back right back with Nazim Rashid's River Nile music from his River Nile album, available on Amazon. And I'll be right back with you. Thank you for calling in. Of what our show is about today, school violence. Do you believe, just ask me this, answer this question for yourself. Do you believe for a moment that just because someone has been diagnosed as mentally ill, do you believe that they can win a defense, that their mental illness defense will work as identifying them as a violent offender on school campuses, specifically if premeditated? Let's say they premeditated, they planned to kill certain students and kill certain parents and teachers, and they still claim to be mentally ill, would that be reason enough for us to say, well, they're mentally ill and they should at least be able to use that as a defense? Or would you, on the other hand, use the concept of, hey, I really don't know what that means, mentally ill defense, and how that would work with violent offenders? Violence is an evil act, so does that mean that they're evil? Maybe they're possessed or something. You know, I've heard so many different stories and explanations about why people are in some way put into these categories and these myths about why they do what they do. As psychologists, we try our best to come up with scientific, if you will, evidence that will give us at least an idea of what kind of behavior occurs because something is happening in someone's life or because of some kind of genetic interference, okay? So we try to look for both those things before we diagnose anyone. It's not about a personal issue like many of the students are doing with the bullying aspect of saying, man, you're crazy, you're weird, you know, we want to beat you up because we can take advantage of you. So there's a lot of different scenarios that we can look at when we look at violence and bullying. And one of the things that's real important when we look at violence and bullying is that there are very subtle ways that violence and bullying take place. It's not always the outward punch in the face or the stealing or the violation of a physical body. It's also violation of someone's space, coming up in their face, if you will. And then there's also the violation of just saying things that abuse or put down another individual. And so this becomes very harmful also. So we also look at, are you in agreement? I want you to think about this. Are you in agreement about how student information is protected? Okay? There's a lot of information out there that is sealed. And within the school districts, all over the country, all over the United States anyway, and most European countries, there are laws that protect students. And these laws have to be acknowledged because of the misunderstandings that can take place if we didn't have these laws in place. So are you in agreement with these laws that, and as I talk about them a little bit, we'll probably end up talking more about them in part three, which is next week. But right now, I at least want you to consider the application of how student information is protected and how important that is to even your own welfare or your children's welfare or your students' welfare, okay? I have invited other staff members to join us this morning, and we hope that they'll come on board and talk to you a little bit. If not, it will just be you and me and a few other people that will join us. And we usually have great shows that we can participate in when we are just a small group of listeners. I did promise to start that chat line early, and I will do that right now. So our chat line is up. One moment. Now, one of the things I want you to be familiar with, and don't think for a moment that I expect you to know all of this stuff when you get off the phone with me. I just want you to have some exposure to some of the laws that are out there and the privacy of students, okay? There's legislation, there's laws, and there's insurance laws that protect the school from being sued. You know, lawsuits against the school district for aggressive behavior done, you know, performed by students. And then there are also the laws that we use to protect ourselves for those who have mental health issues. And these mental health issues is very interesting how many people are not out of the dark ages where they associate physical disability different than mental disability. And so they assume that disability in itself means mental and physical, which it does from one component, it does, from the emotional aspect of having a disability. And one of our guests may speak about that today, is that when you are dealing with a physical disability, you're also dealing with the emotional impact of that disability and how it changes your life as you go through day in, day out, whether you've been born with it or whether you have an accident and it causes some kind of injury or a detour in your life. I like to use the word detour better than the fact that we are destroyed or our life is over because we have a disability, because we know through White Apple Institute training that that is not possible. Your life is never destroyed over that label of disabled, okay? If anything, your life, we will show you how your life can be enhanced by being involved in working on these limitations and making yourself able to do these things. Good morning. We have a caller online and with the prefix of 734. And would you announce your name, sir? Ma'am.
Hi. Hi. My name is Tim Conrad.
Oh, Tim. Okay. Tim, thank you very much for joining us. We recognize that you wanted to be a guest on the show today, and we invited you, and we're so glad you showed up. I understand you may have some stories for us or some things to share, and that would be really, really wonderful. So hang in there, okay? And thank you so much for calling in. Don't hang up now, okay?
Okay.
Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. And what lovely voice is coming through on 363. I have an idea. Hello, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Consuelo Astete.
Okay. Professor Astete, it's always a pleasure to have you come online with us. Oh, you
thank
have
you.
Such great... And so I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the description of the show, but today we are talking about school violence. And I was just talking about this now, that violence doesn't have to be the type of violence that someone is hurt or injured physically. Sometimes we mentally can injure an individual. A teacher can certainly do that. A teacher can injure an individual for the rest of their lives, especially if they have a developmental disability, in other words, one that they're born with, and they want to do great things in life. And if you have a teacher that doesn't believe in those things, then you'll have somebody who can tear down an individual in seconds. Do you agree? In seconds. They can demean them, they can devalue them by things that they say. Do you agree, Professor?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Yes. Well, one of the things that bothers me is that when we think even about racism and the discrimination that went on with racism in identifying certain people that would not make it within our schools, and that still, unfortunately, it still goes on now based on socioeconomic level, you know, how much money a person makes. That's another myth that we'd like to discuss today about why people commit these violent acts on school campuses, because this is very serious, and it's putting a really bad label, again, on the mentally ill who have fought so long to show people that without any reservation they can be a big part of society, hold down jobs, and do a wonderful job with what they do. They don't deserve to have another label, another challenge put in front of them that says now, because of the increased enrollment of people with mental illness, because of the increased enrollment of people diagnosed with it, that even if you're medically managed, even if you have medicine that manages your mental disability, they still have stigmas and stereotypes around that that make it very, very difficult for an individual to succeed at school. So we certainly welcome you to discuss this information with us, and we'd like to tell you a little bit about the Americans with Disabilities Act, an act that's been fought for a very, very long time, and it actually came into law in the year 1990. And this law protects people out there from discrimination regarding employment and discrimination regarding going to school. And so we want you to be familiar, at least, by the time we leave here this morning with the Americans with Disabilities Act, because at that, that's a big start in what we can and cannot do. And, you know, and I'm talking about as far as liability, what we, how we can sue somebody and tell them, listen, I can't get up into school because of this, the way the sidewalk is, so would you help me? Okay, that's what the Americans with Disabilities Act is all about. And also, it protects you, even you, Professor Sethi, if you had some kind of car accident and landed up with a traumatic brain injury or something, it would protect you that you would be well taken care of and retrained to go into teaching again or whatever else you need to do. There's a lot of benefits that we fought for this Americans with Disabilities Act, and we need to start using it more. So we have an increased enrollment, as I mentioned, of students diagnosed with mental health disorders, and this has come out of the press, out of statistics from the Bazelon Mental Health Organization in, based in Washington, D.C. So if there's an increased enrollment in students diagnosed with mental health, and then there's an increase of violence, people are associating both together, and it's not true, okay? For those of you who understand correlation, it is not true. The two do not correlate together. They do not go together, okay? The increase in violence is caused by a different set of orders altogether, different set of symptoms, different set of environment, okay, and genetics. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go through our program today. So this increased enrollment, we have to understand that most students with a mental health diagnosis stay well managed on medications, see a therapist at least twice annually, and they succeed. They succeed at college and work environments at the same rate or better than those that are not diagnosed. Now, you get that one. Let that stick there in your gut for a minute. That is so true. These are statistics talking to us that tell us that most people with a mental health diagnosis, and that is inclusive of a learning disability. A learning disability is a mental disruption, okay, in the brain. So it goes into the same category. But when we talk about those that have had mental issues in learning, we are learning that it cannot be the reason for the increased violence. It cannot be responsible for the increased violence on school campuses, especially if an individual is managed with their medication. They can succeed. I want you to believe that. I want you to know it. The incidence level as those not diagnosed is just very, very small. We wish you much love and peace, and know that if you have to miss part of this show and leave and go somewhere, that you'll come back and visit our show again. Just go into the website and click on the play button that takes you right into the show. And, of course, you won't be there live, but at least you can hear what we talked about today. Okay? Any comments, Professor Sethi? You have one. I know you're going to bring out one there.
Well, yeah, it's very extremely important and very interesting what you're talking about, and it's just amazing, you know, how the benefits of having having the disabled people in schools is just marvelous. That, you know, that they succeed and their life changes, and also our idea, our concept of them changes because we see them function almost normally. And and the fact that, not almost normally, I would say normally, and the fact that,
right,
you know, there's this hint to associate increased violence with increased enrollment of disabled people, that is just ridiculous. It has nothing to do with it. Whoever thought such an idea.
That's right. That's very true. And even when we go back now, which we're doing a lot with the recent shootings, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar without going through all of the shootings that have happened in the last, let's say, 10 years. There's been many of them, and starting with the Columbine students who just walked in and started just shooting people with AK-47 in Columbine High School many years ago. And up until just recently, we had a student who has been diagnosed and managed somewhat by the disabled resources on college campuses, but still we weren't able to identify him and do anything for him because of the laws. But I don't know if you were aware that when that accident took place, he had been incarcerated, okay, for his mental issues. And so why is this happening?
Yeah, I wasn't on it.
We have another person online right now. Any comments?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things I asked him if he was going to return to school, and as a matter of fact, he has returned to a computer class, and he's taking computers now, but he's in a pretty safe environment where he's at. And I just happened to ask him how he felt about going on to, you know, a college campus and taking classes there, and whether or not he felt any fear about that. How do you feel about that, Kim? Tim?
I feel that the people just need more friends and people to stand by their sides.
Mm-hmm. And once people feel this sense of belonging, this sense that somebody cares about me, somebody's nice to me, that maybe they'll stop this. Maybe they'll feel better about themselves and not feel so violent and aggressive. That's a possibility. It certainly is a possibility. Right, Professor Setti?
That's true.
Yes. And that goes for any mental illness. As long as we show somebody some kindness, it can work. Because if you imagine that if you've been hurt for a very long time and someone takes you in, like I took this dog in, that if they don't say anything, which he can't say anything, about what his past life might have been, his past before he met me, and the pain that he endured and what he went through. And many of us have the same issues. We can't put our finger exactly on why we don't do certain things for ourselves. And we understand them and we still do them, like smoking, for instance, and drinking. We know that these things are harmful to us, but we continue to keep doing them. And so maybe there's some connection to why people keep being very violent and aggressive, that they need to do this. They find somewhere a need to have to show off this violence. Wow, that's heavy, huh? That's interesting stuff.
Yes.
So what I would like to do right now is to discover some of the myths that are related to mental illness, and also related to the factor of students going to college, being in college and being labeled. Now, last week we left with the cycle of family violence, and we said that sometimes it's the family's fault. That the family, and this can go for anything. This is violent. We're talking about violence and aggression, but we're also talking about a student being successful, period, in anything that they do. That it seems to me that it is the parents that have the first opportunity. Is there anyone that disputes that?
No.
Everybody in agreement?
Yes.
Yes. It definitely is the parenting. And so then, unfortunately, parents split up. They get divorces. And then there's another parent in the household, another person to relearn, and another person demanding the student's attention. And sometimes they can't give it because they're dealing with their own stuff, their own pain. But this person doesn't understand that. They just come into their life and start controlling it. And we can't allow that. We can't allow anyone to take over on our lives. We can't allow anyone to come up to us in a schoolyard, a campus, a college campus, and control where we sit and where we go and give us fear. Put fear in our hearts about moving around the campus. There's a lot of fear out there. Have you dealt with any colleagues in this manner, Professor Estete, or you yourself been subjected to any kind of fear?
Not exactly like that, except the normal fear of being in a big campus and sometimes, you know, it's hard to find your way around to different departments, and then some
mm-hmm.
people do not give you, they don't care about directing you to where you're going, and you kind of feel lost. That kind of fear, and also the fact that nowadays, everything is done through computer and email, and you cannot have any personal encounter with a human being to talk about your situation.
Right.
Well, that would be a different kind of fear. I think all of that also is important. It does influence how disabled people feel. You just imagine, if I felt intimidated, how would a disabled person feel? Because they already have this psychological problems, you know.
Right, exactly. Very good.
Trying to help them with.
Yes, that is a very good point. Thank you for bringing it out. It doesn't matter whether we consider ourselves disabled or abled body, because disabled simply means that something doesn't work right now, temporarily. It may work later. It also means that taking what we've got and cutting it and editing it, fixing it up, and using it can also work. I want to tell you, it really, truly works for me in saving supplies or things like that, just to recycle what I have. And I hope that all of you are doing the same thing. If you have even school supplies, but medical supplies, make sure that you always recycle them and keep them in good shape, because you never know when you may need them. So going back
mm-hmm.
to the success at work and at college, people do succeed. One of my students for quite a while succeeded at graduating from college, and it was really beautiful the way that they went about it, because she had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and schizophrenia is a pretty difficult mental illness to deal with. It's where you have voices and you see things that you don't expect to see. And so in doing that, she still was able to medically manage her situation and roll up her sleeves and get back to class. And yes, she had to, sometimes she had to break from class, and sometimes she had to take off, but at least she was there. And I appreciated that. And I appreciate that you're there, you're here on the show today, both of you, on the show listening. We've got now over 15,000 listeners on the show, which may be up now another 15, 16,000. That are listening around the world to everything that we're saying. And hopefully some of them are growing from what we're saying. We'll be adding on an 800 line pretty soon so that people will be able to call us on the 800. So I hear that there's a lot of people that can't use their cell phone during this time. But if you can use your chat line on your computer, you can send us a message or call us at 646-727-3758. Well, let's hear from Tim. Tim?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. She's a cheese company.
I got diagnosed with MS 7 years ago.
And it affects certain parts of your body?
Well, it affects mainly my legs right now.
Is that because you want to walk?
Yes, I want to walk.
Okay. A lot of people want to walk, Tim. A lot of people. If you begin to walk, they will begin to walk, those following you and looking at you. They say, boy, if he can do it, I can do it. Okay? So keep that in mind, that you are a mentor. You are a teacher yourself or to others. Every time that you get dressed in the morning and you go out into a big wide world, you know that you are representing something wonderful and beautiful. You're representing good people with illness that need to get off that bus and get on with their life or get out of the chair or off the couch or wherever they're sitting with days on and days off with pajamas and get something going on with their life. Do you agree?
Yes.
We'll see when Astete, Professor Astete, are you back yet?
Yeah. Yes, I'm back.
There was a question that you had for it.
No, I didn't have any questions.
Okay. What else did you want to say? Was there something you wanted to say?
Sometimes we can't hear very well. So are you calling Professor Astete, Ren? Are you talking to Professor Astete?
Yes. I'm sorry if you can't. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Let me.
Yeah, but I did not
moment.
Ask the question. No.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. If that's better to hear me from. Is it better?
Yes, it's perfect now.
All right. Let me do that.
This is wonderful what you're saying to Tim, because we do teach others through our example, and
right.
It's just marvelous to be able to help and encourage others through our actions. And that really is beautiful because it gives you also a meaning for your being here in this on this earth and for your life. It gives you a sense of mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we really bind together and encourage one another.
That's right. Encourage one another to do the things that make us successful, like going to school and getting to that. Why don't we have Tim come on line. Tim, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to share with the audience, if you wouldn't mind, how you landed up in the wheelchair and why you didn't go forward in school. Or how far you've gone forward in school. I'm sorry.
Well, I dropped out of high school. And
you turned it up?
No, I dropped out.
Uh-huh. And then what about that? Did you go back again?
No.
Okay, but there's a reason why you want to go back now?
Well, I just basically want to learn more about computers and...
That would help. Knowing about computers would be help.
Yeah.
You don't want to go out anywhere, like going out in the street with a whole bunch of traffic, you don't know how to cross the street. Yeah, it would be stupid to do that. You're right. So you wait until somebody can see you, and then you do what you need to do. So somebody can support you, I should say, in your homework, in your academic achievements, in your workload, okay? You wait sometimes for mentors to come along in your life to help you. And when you find somebody that's willing to overcome and to actually listen to what you have to achieve and try to help you, you don't need to ignore that. You need to take advantage of that. That's a very important gift that would be given to you. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we've lost Professor Astete here. It's okay, just having a few technical difficulties. Okay, Tim, starting with you, when did we met each other a few months ago, and you were telling me that you moved here from Wisconsin. I was trying to get you involved in some activities and it didn't work out. Just if you feel tired or too tired to say anything, let us know that. Okay. So do you have a reason why you just don't want to do anything anymore when you moved here?
I just wanted something to do because I'd sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah. There are a few people, unfortunately, there are a few people in this world that actually would enjoy a position like that. I don't really want to know them, okay? But there are a few people that are just regular, just couch potatoes. And that's what we call them. Some time ago, I'm sure there's another name for it now. But I'll tell you what, I don't want any of those names associated with me. How about you? You want to be known as a strong person who went out with a fight? Or do you want to be known as a wimpy?
I'd rather be known as a strong person.
Okay. I'm going to leave the paper away unless we have a third comment here, and we'll come back to that later. Hold on just a moment. Just a small break. Like I said, we want to expel some myths about the issues of people with being diagnosed with mental illness and going on school campuses and the violent shootings that are taking place. And in doing that, we're also talking about the overall issues of violence and aggression towards ourselves by others in different circumstances. It's not so much the outward display of bullying or the outward display of aggression. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we go over some of these myths. And if you lose the call, make sure you call back in to 646-727-3758. We're very fortunate to have anyone that calls in and discusses their particular situation with us. So please feel free to call back in if you need to do that or to relate to us on the chat line there. Okay. The first myth that I'd like to discuss is that most people have this idea that people that are involved in violence are usually those from families that are poor, okay? And that poor families poor children in poor families, and when they say poor, they're talking about below the poverty level, usually come out with more of a violent nature. And they ask whether this is true or false, and the research absolutely shows that this is a false impression, very, very false, that that is not true at all. Any comments on that? Anybody feel that when they when they're looking at people that are violent individuals or not very nice, that maybe they might not have come from a very good home? And so we want to make sure that we don't hold that particular myth against that individual. Another myth that's been held is that men are more involved in the aggression than women. And is that true or false? Well, there's a lot of controversy on that, especially in today's world where we have more women that are involved in occupations that require some form of aggression, okay? And one moment, we have another call coming in here. Okay, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning. This is a call from, looks like in California. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And you want to state your name and your business, or?
My name is Kim, and my business is Grace Adult Care Home.
Okay, so you're a care home operator. And you, Kim, you're one of our board members for White Apple Institute.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. So we appreciate you calling in this morning and dispelling some of the myths that we have in regards to mental health. And there's so much out there that is just incredible about what people really believe happens and why people become so aggressive and violent in all situations, not just in the schoolyard, but just aggression overall, you know, and they try to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to explore that. And one of the things that we've explored already is how the family has had an impact on the issues of violence being displayed at school and at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about some of the issues of the struggle it is just to overcome any kind of label of disabled, okay? But there's still something that a lot of people are in a dilemma about, and that is the privacy laws that protect an individual. Like many of the women that you work with in your group homes, take for instance,
mm-hmm.
okay? When you talk about privacy, you cannot go out and tell everyone in the neighborhood what someone's diagnosis is because you would be sued. But there's Privacy Act that protects that, right?
Absolutely, and we have HIPAA, which is also a part of privacy, that you can't disclose the information. It's real tight and very stringent, but it's for the protection of the client. So that's why we don't necessarily always say what the name of our adult care homes are, and we use acronyms because
right.
when you have clients who may be schizophrenic or clients who are borderline or bipolar, you know, sometimes they can go off into the neighborhood and say anything, and sometimes neighbors are not aware of that, especially if they're going through their own issues.
Right, that's true. People can say a lot of different things that are happening in the school to themselves or in the facility that they're in, and it's not even true. We haven't even looked at that as a possibility either. So there's a lot of things that we need to look at here and dispel some of these myths that are out there. They also have a myth that says that not only do the children that are born of poor or below poverty level parents are usually the ones who are involved in aggression and violence, and we have not found that to be true in any other research.
Mm-hmm.
We have found, as a matter of fact, that those that are in the higher level of income and ethnic groups, as far as European white ethnic groups, are those who commit these horrific crimes of walking into schools and flattering bullets all over the place.
Absolutely. And there's been much documentation to show it. I guess it's kind of like that preacher kid, you know, and no one mm-hmm. thinks the preacher's kid will ever go bad. And sometimes the preacher's kid does go bad. And sometimes
right.
the preacher's kid becomes the worst kid,
right.
you know, because they're under the radar. So often we have people that we think that we need to keep on the radar, but often those aren't
mm-hmm.
the people that we need to be looking at. So I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone must be under the radar, not just a few people, especially in today's economy and what is happening with people and mental health. Mental health
mm-hmm.
is huge. It's huge right now.
Right.
So we want to be careful that we're not watching but we're watching everyone. We're looking out for each other. Everyone is looking out for each other. Very important.
There are a lot of things that we can go over. I mean, I have tremendous amounts of myths that we could disclose right now. But one of them that I'm real concerned about is that, and I think we just lost one of the callers. I was just getting ready to put him on air and have him discuss some of his feelings about returning to school and the anger that comes up about his disability and the fact that if I'm disabled and I'm trying to go to school and I feel that I can make it, why can't other people just relax and let me do that without labeling me?
Hmm.
You know, without the expectation that I've done something wrong because I have a disability, you know?
Yes.
So I have him here now, as a matter of fact. Tim, would you like to discuss a little bit about your circumstances and how you come to a real, you've come to a place in your life where you're dealing with your disability now. Why don't you speak into this microphone right in here for us, okay? Tell us a little bit about, if you feel like talking about your diagnosis, that's fine, but you don't have to, okay? But it's up to you to do that. And how you feel, if you feel anger, if you feel that, how can you get restarted again in your life?
Well, the only thing I'm angry about is the fact that when I got diagnosed, I had problems with my wife. She didn't want to deal with the repercussions of going through the MS with me.
Which is multiple sclerosis, is that right?
I always told everybody it's mentally screwed up.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Way to put some humor in it.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Okay, Tim.
Yeah, she didn't want to put up with the repercussions of the MS, and the only reason she stayed with me as long as she did was because of the fact that I was working and paying all the bills and buying her cars and I bought her house, you know.
And so it makes you angry. Your anger results from one individual or individuals in the world taking advantage of you because of your disability. Like, is it when you're labeled with this disability, is that you're not worthy anymore, so let me just take from you whatever I can?
Yes, that's the way I felt. So, up till today, that's the way I felt, yes.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that there's been some change happening for you in your life. Tell us about, I know when you first arrived here in Arizona, you didn't have much desire to do anything. You came involved with White Apple Institute and myself, and all of a sudden there's been some changes happening. One is the computer class. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the computer now.
Well, the computers, basically, I got involved because they said that you take the computer class, they'll teach you about the computer, and they fix them and stuff, so I figured, why not do it? I mean, you know, through my life, I've bought a couple of computers, but we didn't have them very long, so I didn't get to spend much time with them. And I really wanted to learn more about computers. I mean,
well, that's progress. That's progress in itself, Tim. The progress that that we talk about at White Apple Institute is just it. First off, the first great progress that you've made is that you make that one step. That one step in saying, I recognize that I'd like to do something different with my life. And that in itself is huge when someone can say that. And then to work with someone within the Institute, as you and I have worked together, in defining, well, what things really interest you, what things would really get you going. And we haven't even talked about work goals or school goals at this time because we're right in the first phase of getting familiar with this being in the situation of being under that label of disability and what that means and what kind of anger that brings up for you, okay? And whether or not, even as this show is about today, is about the violence and aggression in school, there may be some kind of association of people being so angry with them in their life that we know that there's a connection, emotional connection. We know that. For anyone to go in and hurt in your life, your ex-wife came in and hurt you, okay? She didn't splatter you with an AK-47, but it kind of felt like that, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay. You know, so we know that altogether when we talk about violence and aggression in our school systems, in our workplaces, in our homes, that we're talking about ourselves. We're talking about what we allow ourselves to become subjected to, okay? So the only way that changes, because we're talking about self, is to change the self, to change who you are. Because you cannot change the people around you. You can't change your ex-wife or your parents or your friends or whatever. You cannot change them. They're their own person. So you have to change yourself. And I just want to congratulate you, and I'm sure that the staff at White Apple Institute feels the same way. We want to congratulate you in the fact that you've made that step to roll up your sleeves and say there's got to be something else, another quality of life that I can get a hold of. And it doesn't have to involve my wife or anybody. It can just involve my desire to just, at this point, learn computers. Who knows where to go from there? Any other comments from anybody?
Well, I'd just like to... Dr. Applewhite, I'd just like to do a clarity for HIPAA for the listeners out there. If someone didn't understand what HIPAA actually is for, HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and it was enacted by the U.S. Congress in 1996 for the listeners, and it's also a federal protection act, so it protects all your personal health. So I just wanted to add that, Dr. Applewhite.
Thank you, and that's a very, very good point because when you say personal health, people are always assuming that we mean their personal physical health, but we also mean their personal mental health, their personal mental health. So
definitely,
even as we spoke about earlier in the show, being identified in the sixth grade as someone who has aggressive tendencies, okay, that still does not determine where you're going to be later on in life. We wish we could predict behavior in that way. We wish we could say, oh, well, this individual did this in third grade, so we know that he's going to be a student that's going to become a shooter. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we did know that? But we don't, okay? We had no idea that Tim, as he spoke on, will be on this show this morning, speaking about his anger and aggression, towards not aggression necessarily, but his anger certainly about his ex-wife and how he has been treated because of his disability, okay? And what he's doing along with other people that listen to this broadcast every Saturday, over 16,000 people now that listen to this broadcast have at least at one point now in their lives made a step to say, I know that I'm in charge. Okay, God is always in charge first. We know that. But outside of God, of the creation and of our health, by whatever name we call God, there's also how do we accomplish our goals, and that's up to us. It's up to us whether we're going to wake up in the morning and smile about our lives and say, okay, there's a chance here. Here's another day, another opportunity for me to grow, meet somebody, the possibility for me to improve my quality of life, or I can stay in bed and be a grumpy person all day.
Absolutely.
Okay? And all of us go through that. All of us go through that. Professor Aseti, are you still there online?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any comments? We have about 4 minutes left on the show, and we want to know if we, if you have any comments about the beautiful things that Tim has said to share with us and how that might relate to addressing some of the fears that teachers even have or students have about attending school and work.
Yes. I think it's just wonderful, the mission of White Apple Institute, and I'm just so, so happy to be able to hear Tim with a different, with more hope now that things are going to change and that he can be in charge and make a difference in his own life, of course, with the support and encouragement of all of us.
I believe he will. I'm looking at him right now. That's great. I believe he will, and certainly be an encouragement to all of us. Okay?
Yes, that's
a lot of people don't realize that, Professor, and I'm glad you brought that out. There are people who do marvelous things, exceptional things as exceptional individuals, and people don't hear about all of them. They're not on the CNN Humanitarian Awards. They're not on the community awards list, but they're out there doing little tiny things that mean a lot to certain individuals. And some of that energy, when we talk about school violence, some of the energy that we come up with when we talk about bullying and that kind of thing can be channeled into, and I'm, this is just Professor Applewhite giving an idea, putting an idea out there. Why not allow them the opportunity to make some kind of restitution for their for whatever violence they've committed.
Right.
And especially those young people who stood outside of a school and took a movie camera, basically a video camera of another child being beaten to death. Okay, and not one of them with their cell phones called 911, that they would rather have had a picture in their video, in their camera, than to save another human being's life. And so this is what needs to stop. If we are to save humanity, we will not save humanity by acting this way. And we will not save humanity by not acknowledging that people with mental illness, by being diagnosed with mental illness, does not mean that they are going to go into a college campus and start shooting up students. Okay? We are not ignorant people in this United States. And I want you to open up your eyes and mind to the that mentally ill is no different as far as a cure than the physical injury itself. Because if you're not emotionally stable, you will not be able to take care of yourself at all. Okay? And that's the bottom line. And so within you, again, I encourage you to look for that student within yourself. Remember, the student within yourself teaching. That's within yourself. So student to teacher is about you as a teacher, which could be Sunday school to college courses to anything. And then you as a student who is a listener and a follower. Don't give up that great opportunity, my friends, to be both in this life as we go through this journey together. Much love and peace. Anything else to be said out there? In La La Land, then I will thank you very much for our special guests that appeared on the show today. And we will look forward to seeing you next Saturday and wish you much love and peace. Now tune in to Mentor Man with Nazim Rashid, following this show, right on the Talk Radio Internet. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.